Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney, joined by Will.
Hey.
And today we're going to welcome you to a brand new year, 2019, January 1st, with talking about one of the best Q1 games, which it looks like it's coming up here, Anthem. And that's getting released on February 22nd. And Will and I are going to attempt to get into the beta, which plays January 25th to 27th, and we'll be streaming that, and you can find that over on our website, videogamesnow.ca, and it's going to be a lot of fun. What are your initial thoughts, Mr. Will?
Anyone that hasn't been hiding under a rock should know the name of Anthem.
BioWare's next slam dunk, home run, whatever other sports metaphor you want to use, and that's all coming up right now. Alright, so Anthem, it's got a lot of features in here that I'm really excited for, and we've been looking at it for about an hour now. Well, not quite an hour, but, you know, around there. But yeah, so they got the new suits. This is basically what Destiny should have been, and I'm really hoping it doesn't follow in Destiny's footsteps.
Yeah, I really don't want to play another Destiny.
Destiny is dead. Anthem is the new king. So yeah, it's coming on February 22nd, like I said before, and it's for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. Now, hopefully, we learned a little something-something from the Game Awards with all three CEOs being on stage, and we're gonna have some crossplay. What do you think?
I say it's coming, we're just not there yet. Fortnite has now made their crossplay software available to all the developers, so we'll see which ones take advantage of that. But the chance of seeing Sony, Microsoft collaborate on crossplay right now on a bigger franchise title, I say is very slim.
Well, I mean, as a developer, you would want to get your game in as many hands as possible. So I would think that the crossplay would be a must.
It definitely is a must, but I just see Sony and Nintendo putting up, or Sony and Microsoft still kind of shaking their heads right now.
Yes, but regardless, at least hopefully Xbox One and PC are at least cross-compatible. You know, Sony can do its own thing if it wants, but yeah. Anyways,
definitely.
So we're just on the Anthem website here at EA.com slash a bunch of other words, and then it says Anthem at some point. Upon an unfinished world, humanity struggles to survive in a savage environment full of diverse threats, equipped with incredible javelin exosuits. A faction known as the Freelancers seek to tip the balance in mankind's favor. So, what we've seen from footage thus far is basically a team of four javelins. We have the Ranger, the Colossus, the Interceptor, and Storm. And they're going into, like, caves, and basically the world reminds me a lot of Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah, the big open boss fights.
Yeah, but it's a little bit more fluid, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
I,
let's just hope it's not like Xenoblade, where you're like level 20 and all of a sudden a level 80 boss wanders into your area.
Yeah, that was a big problem I had with Xenoblade Chronicles 2 as well. The first area was fun. I wouldn't say it felt empty, but it just like was annoying to have to travel so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember going to the second area and I was trying to grind out some levels, and then I turn around and there's this giant gorilla that was like level 120.
Yeah, it's nonsense. I mean, the boss battles were fun too, but then you get around to that second area that there's that first big main area where your town is.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like you said, you get to level 20, and then they're like, oh, the next story mission's over here, and then you go and you get fucking wrecked by, like, level 40s and 45s and 50s, and you're like, well, yeah. I'm severely underleveled, and then you go back to grind, and then you get, like, 2 experience per, like,
yeah,
kill.
Yeah, that was my big problem. I really hope Destiny's not like that. I do see they're gonna have some sort of progression system.
You said Destiny, but you totally
meant Anthem.
Yeah.
But you know how like we both play Destiny 1, I play Destiny 2. Now their progression system was solely based on your gear.
Yeah.
I really don't want Anthem to play out that way. I want your guy to level up as well, mainly because it says you can own all 4 of those Colossuses or the Javelins and switch out at any time depending on the mission you're playing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not stuck playing a Ranger for the whole day game. I'm not stuck playing a Colossus. You know, I can switch between them. I can even play a Storm.
Yeah, and what I'm really kind of about these Javelins too are like they're very customizable. Like it's shocking the amount of customizable features are available to you. And I feel like the Ranger and the Colossus and all the other classes have just like the base stats of whatever, you know, like the Colossus, I think, is the big beefy one that's like the tank, basically, right?
Yeah, but I saw one in one of the videos, they scaled down a Colossus to look like a Ranger, pretty much.
Oh, really?
So they took off all the big armor, the guns, and stuff like that, and made it a lot more stealthily, or like more, I don't even know the word I'm trying to think, but like the Ranger, or the...
More, like, quick? More, like...
Yeah, more aerodynamic.
I see, okay.
He wasn't just, you know, really slow and sluggish.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it comes with its own perks.
Armor too, right? He still had some of his bigger weapons, but that also meant, like, he was... If he took damage, he took damage.
Right, okay. So, yeah, I'm just wondering if there's abilities with each class. Like, because of what if if you choose the Colossus, what if he has really good abilities, but someone's kind of outfitted him out to be like a Ranger, so he's more nimble and can get into combat in and out of combat really quickly, and then use the abilities that the Colossus has. Like you can get, I wonder if that's a customizable option as well.
I'm hoping it is, because I also don't want to be stuck. Like, say we play, right, and we all have other friends on Xbox that I'm sure will start picking up Anthem as well, right? I want to see it that we don't all have to be a different suit. Like, you know, if this is a boss that doesn't do too much damage, but we could take him out early, then we all go in there with Colossuses.
Right. I'm sure they've developed the game, though, to... I mean, it's possible to play by yourself, which, what fun is that? But yeah. I'm sure they've designed the game in a way maybe to ramp up if you have more players, kind of similar to how it does in... What goddamn game was that we played? I can't remember. But anyways, we played a game where if you played single player, it was much easier to beat the boss. Oh, it was in, we just played it at PAX. It was the one where we beat the, holy shit. Help me. Drowning.
Yeah, you're gonna keep drowning till you give me a bit more clues.
It's the colorful one where we played 4 player and first time we beat the boss in all of... PAX Saturday. What the fuck?
Oh, Blessed.
No, not Blessed. Is the other one. Shit. I'm pissed. Okay, anyways. Can't remember. We'll remember in about 20 minutes, and it'll be just totally randomly thrown in there. No, it was that butterfly boss, wasn't it? That we had to beat?
Oh, Dauntless.
Dauntless. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's coming out to console as well, so I'm really excited.
What a fucking waste of, like, a whole minute of people's lives that was. Anyways. So, yeah, Dauntless. Yeah, that's the game that ramped up if you don't have it for, like, four players, wasn't it? So if you play by yourself, the bosses are a little bit easier to defeat, but if you have four people, it ramps it up. So I'm wondering if...
Yeah, but I thought there was also only certain bosses that you could play by yourself. Like that one that we were facing, I highly doubt you could solo.
Yeah, we barely beat it with four people. Like, we just beat it. There was three of us down.
We had, like, 15 seconds left, and all three of us were down other than that one guy with, like, barely any health.
Yeah.
And I think he threw a weapon or something, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome. When's that game come out, by the way? Oh, it's out, isn't it?
PC, it's already out. But console, I think it's May. May or March. Something with an M, I'm pretty sure.
Freaking stoked for that game. That game was the cat's ass.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be picking that up for sure on console.
Yeah. All right. So, where are we? So, in the beginning, gods harnessed the anthem, a source of pure creation. Oh. Wondrous lands erupt into existence. So, I remember from E3 that this land is very alive. The world is very alive. I think the day-night cycle reflects the real time.
Yeah, I think so. So you're not going to go through like four or something days in one game, in one day.
Oh, okay, sped up a bit. So you'll go through two actual day-night cycles in a day.
Is that what it says?
No, I was picking up what you were putting down.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I can't remember. I remember they said they were trying to keep it to real time, but I thought it was real time for events. So, like, if I see a world event happening where I am, it's happening for everyone else around the world.
Okay. So, I'm just reading the kind of the lore. The lore is kind of interesting. Anyway, so going into the gameplay portion of it, so expert pilots use every advantage as they take down enemies with ruthless efficiency. Here's the Colossus taking down enemy at range, only to immediately jump up and fly in for an overhead smash attack to finish off the second target. So, like we were saying before, very versatile and very mobile, these suits are. So that's great that you have that option. Add some strategy, some group strategy for once.
Especially with, like, because... as they're planning out the game, there's going to be big, you know, bosses. There's going to be, like, kind of trial type things.
Yeah.
So I picture a lot of strategy is going to have to be used in this game. You can't just go in guns flying.
Yeah.
Where, okay. Like, I think it was the Ranger or the Storm. One of them has, like, cloaking.
I wonder if you can get up and close, and if you can, like, get behind them or something, you can land, like a couple of critical hits.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's probably critical hits. Like, if I think it's the Ranger that can go invisible, and you can get up behind, right, and do more damage.
I wonder how the damage system is measured. Is it DPS, or is it per hit, or what?
I don't know. They haven't really talked about it.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, so they all there's also... it says on long missions, ammo and health pickups are critical to survive. If you find yourself running low on either resource, take down some enemies and watch for these pickups. They'll drop on the battlefield if you're particularly low on ammo. Use your gear and melee abilities to conserve ammo until you're back to a comfortable surplus. So yeah, it's showing a video of a Colossus taking out a spider looking monkey thing, and a couple of things dropped out from it. So I think we were saying... we did an Anthem podcast before when it was first announced at E3, but this is we're doing one now. It's a bit closer to launch, or the beta's coming up here, and there's a lot more information available to us. But we were saying at the E3 kind of release of it is the HUD is very clean. There's not a whole lot of nonsense around. Like, remember what's that game MMO we just played that we hated? Black something. Black Desert. That was the most, like, cluttered freaking HUD I've seen in a long time.
I hated that because the chat HUD took up, like, quarter of the screen and I couldn't turn it off.
Yeah. Couldn't turn the chat off. The mission board or whatever, the quest board was, like, super in your face. And it was, it sucked. I did not like it. But this looks super clean. The ammo and the gun... and your abilities thing is super compact and it's in the corner, And it's since it's third person view, they've put your guy on the other side of the screen, away from all your stuff. So, yeah, it's super awesome. And then the compass up top is also your radar. So they put so you have little red dots in the top of your compass, so that tells you where enemies are. So that's nice that they've eliminated another HUD option thing. And then obviously your health and then your objective is just shoved right in the corner off to the side. It's completely opened up your view to this game, and it looks amazing.
That is really good. I like that. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of map. So you can keep track of your teammates and stuff like that.
You know what? Actually, the teammates thing is actually one of the best things about this too. So, like I said, your radar for enemies and stuff is in your compass, which is just one straight line. Yeah. Up at the top.
Like, is that how the teammates are probably colored?
No, actually, if your teammates aren't on screen, it has a very little blue dot. And it has a little like arrow pointing off screen, showing them that if you look that way, that's where your partner's going to be. So
that's really good. I like that.
Yeah. So like I said, it's super like super small, and it doesn't get in anybody's way. It's opening up your view of the world without all this UI bullshit in the way.
Yeah, because I was worried with like how big this game is. You know, like if say a person takes answers the phone or something like that, and the three other players get way far ahead, and he doesn't even know where to go to follow them.
Yeah, exactly. And I see that your objective is also in the compass. So when I'm saying compass, just imagine the Fortnite compass system. When you walk around, it tells you what.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I know. I know what I mean. But it's a straight bar, and it gives you the compass directions, and it's freaking awesome. So I wonder if you get any shield or anything like that in this game.
I bet you there's going to be, which I haven't really seen too much, but like you were saying, like the abilities of each class.
Well, I see at the bottom or on the right hand side here, the gun you're using, your primary or whatever, is kind of in the middle, and then it's got the ammo counting down and all that kind of stuff right beside it, and then right above it is a smaller bar with your secondary weapon, and then below that is all your abilities, and it's telling you when your ability bar charges up. It says like left bumper, right bumper. So yeah, it's all, everything is there. It's like I said, off to the side. I'll maybe put a picture on our website so you guys can see what we're talking about. But yeah, that's super awesome. Anyways, so targeting. Threats can come from all sizes, often from elevated positions and at long range. So on abilities with long trajectories, your cipher helps you see where your mortars, grenades, and other arcing projectiles will land. Awesome. So
very useful.
That's super useful. And I wonder if it has like Z targeting, like Zelda. Like that is actually the best thing ever made for 3D, like anything.
That is true.
Needs to be in like all the games. All right, so next we have combos. So teamwork is a vital part of a javelin combat, and the best way to maximize your damage as a team is to set up your teammates for massive combos. Here, the Storm Javelin is released a bolt of electricity to deal area damage and set up a finishing blast from the Colossus. All that is left is to sit back and watch the chaos. That's hard to read when they've screwed up the word or the spelling. But this picture's badass. So yeah, the storm just shot a big ass blast of lightning, and then the javelin swooped in and totally nuked him. It was great. This particular I'm gonna call it a GIF because it's like a looping like 2 second clip, but anyways, this GIF, if I'm even saying that correctly, has a bit more on it in terms like the objective or whatever. So the first one I was just talking about a moment ago, it just has one straight line, and it said find the source of the eggs, and then underneath it it has a couple of other things, like I guess sub objectives, but it's all still tightly compact in the corner. So I think that's one of my favorite features about this game. I'm going to probably talk about that quite a bit. All right, so next we have weak points. So having three bulging vulnerable sacks may not work out great for the Swarm Tyrant here, but it has given these freelancers a golden opportunity to deal bonus damage by targeting them with everything they've got. Identify the weak spots of larger opponents and level the playing field. Maybe literally. So the only other HUD thing that they've added here is the boss HP bar. So it's like, it's exactly
which
where
I
it
like
should
seeing.
Be.
I yeah. don't know. It's always good seeing how much you've got left.
Unlike Dauntless.
Especially if you're weak, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I've got no health. Or you're all kind of starting to struggle. Let's go play a little more defensively.
Yeah. 100%. All right, so we have loadouts now. So your weapon and gear choices can totally reshape how you fight on your missions. So it's a great idea to mix up your loadouts to find a playstyle that fits you and your mission. Here we see a Colossus in the distance using a flamethrower to start a party up close while the other Colossus delivers damage from a distance. Each javelin is highly adaptable, so there are plenty of options to explore as you hone your combat skills. Oh yeah, lots of shit going on here. It's like, there's a dude has a flamethrower, that's boss.
Nice.
I don't know what
and
I...
like you just said, there's two Colossuses, so that definitely means you could all be Colossus if you needed to.
You know what's going to be strange is, you know, no, not everyone's going to want to walk around with, like, say, a flamethrower. So, like, when, if you decide to change your weapon, that kind of upsets the balance of your team in a way.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to figure out...
That's why, like, a lot of communication.
Yeah. I like games like this, but yeah. But when you have a good team, I hate when you have, like, you know... You're like, all right, let's, you know, let's be serious about this. And then the other three are freaking donkeys and they just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super frustrating. So if anyone's a team player, you know where to find my gamer tag on our website, videogamesnow.ca. All right. Anyways, so next we have ultimate abilities. Whether you like to use your ultimate ability to start a fight or to finish one, there's no denying the sheer magnitude of devastation that erupts. Here the Colossus uses a siege cannon to blast at the broadside of a swarm tyrant. We've just scratched the surface of the combat experience here in Anthem. As we get closer to the pre-launch demos, we'll have even more information on how to optimize your javelin and use strategies to obliterate even the toughest enemies. Oh, yeah. So, oh, I'm super stoked for this game. This game looks fucking money.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So, why don't we dive into the individual classes and let's see what we're getting into here. So, the Ranger is the... One of them was kind of like the Jack of all trades. I think that was the Ranger, wasn't it?
I'm looking right now. The get to know the Interceptor and get to know the Ranger. I think the Ranger is where the Interceptor's speed. So let me
yeah,
check.
It is. It is. It says it's the most versatile. So I'll just read this little paragraph here. It says, in the world of Anthem, the Javelin exosuits are your key to survival in the harsh wilderness outside Fort Tarsus. I hate reading new names from shit.
Yeah, it's Fort Tarsus.
Yeah, anyways. They are powerful suits of armor equipped with propulsion and weapons that allow you to the speed and firepower you'll need to complete your missions. Javelins are handcrafted by the meticulous work of Ark...
I was waiting to see if you would screw that word
up. I fucking totally did. Arcanists. Holy shit. Javelins are handcrafted by the meticulous work of Arcanus, and the only expert pilots can unlock the full potential of their exosuits. The Ranger Javelin is the first you'll suit up, in which you'll get into detail about here, but as you progress, you'll unlock all four Javelins. The other three include the Colossus, Interceptor, and Storm, as we've said earlier. You'll be able to swap between them to improve both your Javelin's abilities and the overall skill of your pilot. So can you switch on the fly? That'd be interesting.
I don't know if you can, because it looks like you have to go back to Fort Tarsus to suit up.
Yeah. Because
that's where your home base is.
Huh. Well, that's kind of sad that you have to unlock the suits.
It's probably pretty easy, though, like right at the beginning.
You'll be able to... Where does it say that? As you progress, you'll unlock all four javelins.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's like story missions that you do, and then...
That's what I mean, yeah.
Okay.
You should be able to get them all very close to the beginning of the game. That's how the game's built, right?
Well, you should be able to choose which one you want to be, and then you got to unlock the other three. I don't think they should just force you to be a Ranger.
I think it makes sense a little, because the Ranger is the most versatile, so it's easy to learn with.
That's fair, yeah. Fair enough. All freelancers train on the Ranger first in Anthem, not because it's the easiest, but because it's the most versatile. In the hands of Master Lancer, the Ranger can achieve feats of combat prowess that no other Javelin can touch. So the Ranger Javelin has a deep bag of tricks to draw from, and there's no combat situation it can take on effectively. With access to a wide variety of weapon types, the Ranger is a true wild card that can complement any team and any mission. So, as the game is still in development, all game features and ability names may change. That's totally fine. All right, so here's the actual abilities now. So and weapons. So the Ranger Javelin weaponry. Each javelin may have two weapons for their loadout and can change them along with the rest of their loadout between missions. The Ranger is capable of wielding every weapon type except for heavy weapons, which can only be used by the Colossus Javelin. Okay. So that makes sense. But that's cool that it's got that you can use pretty much every weapon other than the heavy stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
I like its melee ability too. That sounds cool.
Yes, the shock mace. When the Ranger Javelin chooses to mix it up at close range, it deploys an electric mace and send it medically inadvisable amount of voltage through its enemies. A medically inadvisable was an interesting choice of words for this.
Yeah.
How about a coma?
It should have been medically inadvised.
Yeah.
It's inadvisable amount. It kind of confuses people.
All right, who wrote this? That's two errors now that we found. So then we also have the Ranger Javelin grenade gear. Quick to deploy grenades lay down area damage for effective crowd control at a moment's notice. Modified grenades can be found out in the field and can be equipped to create different effects, including frost and seeker grenades. So there, it looks like there's five different types of grenades. There's a frag grenade, an inferno grenade, frost grenade. Seeker grenade, which splits into small submutations of... is that what that fucking word is?
Munitions.
Munitions, thank you.
Which, munitions.
Munitions. Submunitions. Yeah, I don't know. It seeks out the nearest enemy, so it's seeking. I see. Seeker grenade, that makes sense now. Yeah. And a sticky bomb, which all these are pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that sticky bomb.
It's gonna be
his assault launcher gear.
Yeah, the Ranger's wrist launcher allows for a variety of modules to load on for an extra burst of firepower. This provides a more flexible combat approach that can take down threats quickly. So there's a lot of these. You want to read these off, Will?
You getting a little tired?
Yeah, my throat's getting a little dry.
All right, so you got your homing missile. You've got an energy pulse. Basically, I guess I should actually read what they do, eh?
Yeah, what the fuck does an energy pulse do?
Okay, so homing missile fires projectile that seeks out a target for a small area of effect explosion. An energy pulse unleashes a blast of pure energy, hitting a single target with incredible force. What the fuck is that even going to look like?
of pure energy? Yeah.
Pure energy, just like some white light?
Yeah. Sorry.
The spark beam fires a sustained beam of energy for continuous damage.
It's just called that.
Man,
down
that
beam.
Reminds me of like the Spartan laser.
Oh shit! Yeah, no kidding.
Venom darts launches a volley of darts that seek out a target for acid damage.
Just shoots literal parts of venom. Sorry,
that'll be smart to use though, because acid and like you know poison always is continuous damage, so damage over time.
I was making a Marvel joke and then I gotta watch my puppet peas. I meant Venom like from Marvel, like just shoot like black Venom like parts, and then it like turns him into that'd be badass. Anyways, and then the last one.
You got your blast missile. Fires a missile that explodes for area of effect damage, so AOE. That's usually very useful on multiple enemies at once.
I am a total whore for AOE at anything. Like
especially if they're really powerful AOEs, like
yeah.
Oh, you can nuke.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of AOE, I've been playing a lot of Smash recently, and I beat the adventure mode and I've unlocked all the characters and all that nonsense. And yeah, I hated Ike for forever. Since his inception, and I'm actually liking Ike now. I played as Ike in the last kind of bit of the adventure mode, and he was kind of saving my ass. And he has such a cheap offstage finisher. It's such dirt.
What is it?
Well, if you get them close enough to the edge, or you knock them off the edge, and then as they come back, you just use your B up move, and then he like picks them up. Sorry, popping peas again. Jesus. He picks them up with his sword, and then when he comes down, usually it's just out of the reach of the stage, but you grab the stage like, Ike grabs the stage because he's going to live, but the actual, like, impact from the up B, like, slams them down into death, and it's, like, super freaking cheap. So anytime I was facing an opponent that was, like, completely out of my league or a legendary or whatever, I would just literally do that, and it would be, like, a 13-second match.
Wow.
Super
That's
cheap.
That's some bullshit.
Yeah, but then when you fight an actual boss, like, you can't do that, so...
Yeah.
But he's super, super strong, dude. Like, his up A is, like, a monster.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyways, so...
All right.
Back to this
Back
game.
On topic, though, the Ranger Javelin support gear.
Do tell.
I'm just reading it a little ahead so I can get an idea, but... Skillful field general... As a skillful field general, the Ranger is capable of creating special fields that allow its allies to gain a tactical advantage. The Bulwark Point deploys a spherical field that deflects incoming enemy projectiles. So I guess he does have a shield.
Okay. Well,
but I wonder how often you'd be actually able to access these. There's got to be some sort of timer.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There's a muster point. Creates a field which increases weapon damage for teammates who enter its radius. Note, in a previous article, this ability had been listed as a reducing gear cooldown. So it does. Most of these abilities, I guess, do have those cooldowns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think increasing weapon damage is a really good buff because that, you know, critical moment and everyone's low health and you just buff everyone's damage. Yeah.
I wonder how long that lasts, though. Probably 30 seconds.
Yeah. Maybe even less. Maybe even, I would say 10.
And then your ultimate ability. Ooh, here we go. The multi-target missile battery. Lancers can deploy a special ultimate ability that displays the true strength of their Javelin exosuit, dealing precise damage across a wide swath. Swath? What the fuck's a swath? A wide swath of the battlefield. The Ranger's multi-target missile battery allows it to target many fast-moving enemies with guided projectiles.
I wasn't reading that. How do you spell swath? S-W-A-T-H?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Swath. I have no idea what that means. Swath of the battlefield.
According to Google...
Swath.
You said it correctly. A broad strip or area of something.
Who the fuck, like, searched these fucking terms? Like, dealing precise damage across a wide range of the battlefield would have worked fine for me.
Oh, yeah, this article is awesome.
Like, dealing precise damage across a wide swath of the battlefield. Like, I fucking had to stop there and be like, what the
and
fuck
we,
is
yeah,
swath?
That's taking me out of the game now because I had to Google what swath was. So we have to we both have to use swath at least once more each during this podcast. A broad strip or area of something.
Yeah, just dealing precise damage across a wide range or area of the battlefield would have worked way better than swath.
Yeah.
Fuck, I really want to see who wrote this, but it doesn't have a name under the article.
Yeah, I think that was...
send them a very taxing email.
Yeah, might have been by design. Anyway, so your first Javelin, with its focus on precise damage and versatility, the Ranger Javelin can suit any number of skill levels. Novice pilots will appreciate a wide array of weapons and abilities they can use to sharpen their skills, while experts will gravitate toward the Ranger's emphasis on excellent marksmanship and skill mastery. So whether you're the newer freelancer in your group or the most veteran, the Ranger is the gold standard for combat efficiency. A Yeah, I can't do the Porky Pig thing. Anyways, but there are other Javelin options to explore for those who like a more heavy-handed approach. The Colossus is a great fit, and for those who favor a reflexive, lightning-fast playstyle, there's none faster than the Interceptor. We just want
just
to throw...
I the Interceptor, so I have the article.
Nice. Want to throw lightning bolts at unsuspecting enemies, suit up with the Storm. There's so much to discover in the world of Anthem. So you got Interceptor. I'll open the Colossus, and we'll see.
All right, so as the smallest and sleekest of the Javelins, the Interceptor is favored by Corvus long-range scouts, infiltrators, and assassins. But while it may not be the mightiest Javelin in your arsenal, its agility and evasion are unmatched. It has more than enough power to bring the fight to anyone foolish enough to underestimate it.
Hmm.
Always two steps ahead. The Interceptor Javelin might not be the most imposing silhouette of the Colossus, but it still knows how to make pack a punch. The Interceptor excels at getting in close to inflict damage and weaken its enemies, then dashing away before they can even react. With powerful blades with a full suit of devastating abilities, the Interceptor is both incredibly self-reliant and an excellent supporting teammate. The weaponry. Each javelin may have... Oh, no, we've already talked about that. So the Interceptor Javelin Exosuit Melee Ability. Every javelin has an innate melee ability, which we've discussed. For the Exoskeleton, you have the Double-Bladed Daggers. The Interceptor uses a pair of double-bladed daggers to deliver a multi-hit flurry of slashes, dealing damage in a chain of powerful attacks that can be continued indefinitely.
Interesting. Correct. So what you're saying is it attacks in a swath of enemies.
Oh, you asshole.
I got mine out of the way. You got to find...
Okay.
Sure, it's not going to be difficult. Okay, here's another...
Swath.
Definition. A row or line of grass, grain, or other crop as it lies when mowed or reaped. That's funny. So it's that annoying grass that sticks to your pant leg when you're mowing grass. Copy that. Or it's the...
I always needed the name for that.
Yeah.
Now I know.
I think mowed grass would have been acceptable as well.
Oh, that is so stupid. All right. Interceptor Javelin Exosuit Technique Gear. The Interceptor Javelin uses a variety of gear to perform devastating techniques on the battlefield. Gear is picked up as loot during missions and can be equipped or swapped out in between missions. Lancers can equip three gear in their loadout, one from each of the sections down below. There are assault systems. You have the Seeker Glaive. Throws out razor-sharp projectiles that seeks out the nearest target in the swath of the battlefield.
Ooh,
there we go.
Shit's getting real right now.
Acid Bomb. Tosses a grenade which explodes, splashing all enemies with acid. Well, that kind of, just the name alone, didn't even have to read that.
No, not at all.
The Cryoglaive launches out a projectile that locks onto a nearby target and freezes it on impact.
So, they seem to all have the same sort of, not attack, but, what's the word I want?
It's kind of the same loadout, it's just a different version, like where, yeah. For the Ranger, these were all grenades.
Yeah.
Where for me, I have bombs and it looks like throwing knives in the Interceptor.
Right. Okay.
So you like, but I can actually see how these could work together with like the Cryoglaive freezing the enemy on impact, and then someone could, you know, use an explosion type ability probably to do even extra damage while it's frozen for those couple seconds.
Right. Yeah. Well, what I find commonly with freezing anything on any game is it works fine, you know, throughout the game, and then as soon as you're against a boss, it doesn't do shit.
Yeah, I do understand that much. What else was there? Where were we? Cluster Mine throws out a group of mines onto a targeted area which explode on contact with an enemy. So, what was the one for the Ranger that it had a similar ability?
Wasn't that the missile or whatever?
The locking one, right?
Yeah.
So, like you said, they have very similar abilities. And then we have the Spark Dash. Dashes forward, leaving behind a trail of electricity that damages enemies.
I wonder if you can do area...
So, while you're trying to get away like a coward, you're still doing damage.
Yeah. I wonder if you can do area effects, like... say when the storm uses like that electric grenade thing, whatever the fuck we were talking about earlier. If you use an electric type,
sorry, what was that?
You know how the storm can, like, he had an AOE attack of like using electricity or whatever raining down through everybody. I wonder if he uses an attack like that, an AOE type attack, and then you as the Interceptor use that electric attack you just mentioned. If the attack goes up because you're using it at the same time. So
well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. because it looks like this the Interceptor is based all around single target damage.
Right.
Where the Ranger is like single target multi or AoE and damage over time. And I bet you the Colossus is going to be full on AoE damage.
Right. I'm going to be a Colossus then. Fucking rights.
Yeah. I do like the idea of the Interceptor.
So you can kind of really play Colossus kind of one of two ways. You can either sit back and just use your heavy weapons to just be a like absolute AoE boss, or you can just tank for everybody.
Yeah. So I really like how this game is making it easy for you to just play whatever role you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Then the Interceptor Javelin strike systems. You have the Star Strike. Charges an enemy with energy, which explodes after delay. The explosion deals increased damage if the target is destroyed before the full delay.
So it's like that. It's like that scene from
an AoE ability.
Yeah, it's like the scene from fuck's that movie? That Marvel movie called Guardians of the Galaxy. The ending of the Guardians of the Galaxy, where they like hold the Infinity Stone and then they all blow up.
Yeah.
Or Infinity War, where everyone blows up.
They don't blow up; they just turn into dust.
Same shit. That comes out soon, doesn't it? The sequel to that?
Infinity War?
Yeah.
Well, Infinity War's out. That was just released on Netflix on the Christmas Day.
No, I know, but
they released
the
trailer
second,
and the sequel,
half.
I think, comes out in April.
Okay. We'll talk about that on our movie podcast called What You Watching Now, which is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever the hell you found this podcast.
And then we have a Plasma Star. Tosses a plasma-empowered shuriken at a single target, effective at longer range. The Nova Strike sends out a projection of the Interceptor, which will then attack enemies it comes in contact with. So, like, this sends out a projection of the Interceptor, which will attack enemies it comes in contact with. That's kind of cool. Sounds like it makes a double of itself that'll blow up.
Can you hear
the
that?
Tempest Strike, a devastating single target attack that can stun smaller enemies. And the Corrosive Spray sprays out a jet of corrosive acid that damages all enemies hit.
Did you hear that? Like, that was my cat purring.
Yeah, I heard. Which one? A kitty or a Fitz?
No, Fitz. Obviously. Kitty doesn't purr. She doesn't have a fucking soul anymore.
Good old Fitz.
Yeah, anyways.
Interceptor Javelin support systems. So you have your target beacon. Marks a target for increased damage, which will switch to another enemy if the marked target is destroyed. You have the Rally Cry. Removes status effects from all nearby allies. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I guess there is status effects you can be afflicted with. By enemies. Probably poison.
Yeah, poison, burn.
Burn. You could probably get frozen.
Yeah, probably. Or I don't think you would get frozen. I think maybe they would. It would slow you down. It would like freeze up your suit a bit.
Yeah, that would be cool though.
Yeah.
And then the ultimate ability for the Interceptor is the Assassin's Blades. Lancers can deploy a special ultimate ability that displays the true strength of their javelin. The Interceptor becomes supercharged, aiming its Assassin's Blades and carving through enemies at high speed.
Interesting. So they're going to Ezio someone in the back or what?
Who knows, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. I'm on the Colossus. Yeah, so this guy is a big fucking dude. Excuse me. Hang on. Oh, I'm like, I thought I heard like a meltdown like alarm, but it was just the song playing in the background. Anyways. So we have an appetite for destruction. We've all been there. Faced up against a rolling horde of fanged monstrosities firing off round after round of useless round into the ocean of carapaced beasts. Who wrote this shit? Can you Google carapace? What the fuck does that mean?
C-A-R-P-A-C-E?
C-A-R-A-paste. Racing pace. Paste.
Yeah. Carapace. Let's see what this...
What the fuck does that mean?
The hard upper shell of a turtle. Crustacean or arachnid.
What? This guy's trying to make us use Google a lot. He must work for Google. Anyways, so he could have just said armored beasts, but whatever. So basically, the Colossus is going to be our horde exterminator. So it's going to be good. So each javelin may have two weapons for their loadout and can change them along with the rest of their loadout between missions. The Colossus can't use the two smallest weapon types, pistols and SMGs, but is the only javelin sturdy enough to wield any of the heavy weapons. So, Colossus Javelin melee ability is Heavy Smash. The Colossus can use its massive chassis as a weapon, both in a diving smash attack from the air and a hammering melee attack. So, this not only clears out smaller enemies instantly, but has a chance to knock down foes and leave them open to follow-up attacks. It's nice. Javelin's a bro.
A bro.
I saw a meme today that made me think of Mark. And it's a guy in the dentist chair, and the dentist says, "When was the last time you flossed?" And the guy in the chair is like, "Bro, you were there."
That seems like something Mark would say too.
I died. Anyways, so Colossus Javelin Ordnance Launcher Gear. That's a fucking tongue twister. Colossus Javelin Ordnance Launcher Gear. Alright. Utilizing the incredible strength of the Colossus, these shoulder-mounted weapons are compatible of dishing out punishment to enemies near or far. Your choice. So we have a couple, and it's kind of this, you know, the same sort of types as the other guys. So, high explosive mortar launches a explosive projectile that deals heavy AoE damage. Burst mortar, pretty much the same thing. It's a wider area of effect than the one above. And then we have a firewall mortar. So it's fire specialized mortar round that ignites a wall of flames, heavily damaging enemies that try to move through it. Following that, we have lightning coil and shock coil. So they're the same thing, except one emits a wave of electricity from the Colossus, and one just shoots a single strike of lightning. So, anyways, Will, you're on the page, yeah?
No, I'm just listening to you. I'm on to the storm.
Oh, you're on the storm now. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff here. And the ultimate ability, Siege Cannon, so Lancers can deploy a special ultimate ability that displays the true true strength of their Javelin exosuit. The Siege Cannon's ideal for clearing out smaller enemies, controlling enemies in a choke point, or putting some extra damage on a boss. So it is the tank, as I've said before. So... anyways, yeah, let us know what's going on over there with the Storm.
Alright, so the Storm Javelin first arrived in Fort Tarsus as a rumor. Developed by your enemy, the Dominion, in their northern home of Strelheim, the Storm uses a powerful technology known as seals to boost their latent kinesis powers of its lancer. The result is the Javelin can float effortlessly above ground and unleash raw energy of the Anthem. So it looks like the Storm Javelin's melee ability is going to be the Fiery Strike. The Storm uses seals on its arms to deliver an explosive flash that deals damage and knocks back enemies that have gotten too close, giving the Storm time to reposition at a safe distance. What I forgot to read up top is, and while the Storm can channel unbelievable amounts of elemental force, it is little in the way of defensive capabilities, and requires an expert pilot to stay above the fight and dish out damage from a safe distance.
Oh, so shit!
This seems like your high damage thing, but, like, you take a hit and you are gonna get fucked up.
So, copy that.
So you have different seals. There's, just like everyone else, your stupid, gear abilities. You have your lightning strike. Targeted strike deals lightning. Ice storm creates a field of ice that deals damage, rapidly building to a final explosion of frost. You've got a flame burst, a quick explosion that deals fire damage at a target location. You've got a rime blast, fires out a flurry of ice projectiles that deal damage and freeze close range targets. And then you have the living flame, a burst of flame energy that seeks out and ignites targets. Then they have focus seals. You got your hoarfrost shards, rapid fire shards of ice that slowly freeze the target in place. You have a fireball, versatile fire ability that can be fired quickly in small shots or charged with a larger projectile that explodes. You've got ball lightning, a discharge of electricity, electrical energy that can be bounced off walls to reach targets behind cover. Ball lightning. Why didn't they just call it lightning ball?
Lightning of balls.
Yeah. Glacial beam fires a beam of powerful ice. Arc burst unleashes a blast of lightning that will leap to nearby targets for heavy damage. Then you have a couple support seals. You have your wind wall. Generates a defensive wall of wind that deflects incoming enemy projectiles. You have your nexus. Creates a field which provides gear cooldown reduction for teammates who enter its radius.
Interesting.
And your cream de la cream, your ultimate ability, Elemental Storm. Lancers can deploy a special ultimate ability that displays the true strength of their Javelin exosuit. And for this one, you have the Eye of the Storm. With its elemental power and minimal armor, the Storm has a reputation for being
Tempest?
No, it's like Tempest, and then with U-O-U-S.
U-O-U-S.
Look that up for me.
Temptatious?
Is that Temptatious?
Yeah, let's see what Google says. Spell it again.
Tempest, and then U-O-U-S.
U-S. Google says?
Tempestuous.
Okay, whatever.
All right. characterized by a strong and turbulent or conflicting emotion. The fuck?
Okay, I don't know how this really... The Storm has a reputation for being... conflicted javelin, maybe.
I think the second definition is the one we're looking for. Very stormy.
All right, it can spell disaster for even experienced pilots. But ask anyone who survived the fight with a storm, and they'll tell you there's no doubting the strength. Whether the storm suits your style as a pilot, you'll need your particular mission, or fits your needs for your particular mission, or you're just moody that day. It's a great addition to your arsenal of javelins. So, it sounds interesting. Like, the final ability is, like, the storm emits successful blasts of frost, electricity, and fire, all ending with a meteoric finale. Fuck, man. I really don't like this author.
Use English, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least that one I kind of knew. I just had trouble saying meteoric.
Yeah. You know what's sad, actually, is over in Europe, they have their education system is, like, way fucking better. Like, I mean, I knew our education system here was shit, but we had an exchange student come over from Sweden, and we're in, like, grade 11, and she's learning stuff that she learned in grade 7 and grade 11, and we're like, really? Well, shit. No wonder they're, like, curing cancer and shit over there. Anyways... So, Anthem comes out, like I said multiple times, February 22nd. And if you want to join the pre-order, you can join Origin Access or join EA Access to experience the VIP demo, which is on January 25th to 27th. It's a few weeks before Anthem launches. And as a part of the VIP demo, you'll also get an exclusive in-game item showing you that you were the first to play. So you can also pre-order the game on either PC, which is on Origin Access, or Xbox One or PlayStation 4. In the respective stores. So it'll be a good ass time. Will and I are going to play it, and we're going to have a lot of goddamn fun.
Oh yeah, I'm actually looking, you know, like, as much as the Storm sounds hard to play, I kind of like its abilities.
Yeah,
kinda,
I mean,
seems like the mage of the suits.
Yeah, totally. I always choose the mage when I play MMOs and all that kind of stuff anyway, so
yeah. But it looks like I don't have to actually pick a character. I can play as all four. So that's what I really like about this game.
Nice. So I'm just trying to see if it has any information regarding... It doesn't. So if you guys want to look up anything that we were talking about during the podcast, just head over to you know, the Google of Googles and just type in Anthem. It's basically the first one. It's the EA.com /games/anthem/about... or whatever. And yeah, you can see all the little pictures we've been looking at and all that kind of stuff. And it's going to be a good time. So anyways, Anthem, February 22nd. Yep. VIP demo coming out soon. It's going to be good. Anything left to say before we sign off here, Mr. Will?
Also in January, we should have the beta for Blessed Unleashed.
Oh, yeah, we should. We have a multitude.
I still got like 40 codes, so.
We have a.
You know, hit us up on Facebook. Let us know. I've already given like all the codes that I needed to give to my friend, so we still got multiples left.
We have a tempestuous swath of Bless Unleashed codes, and we want to give some away. So if you guys would like a free closed beta code, hit us up on our Facebook page, which you can find on our website, videogamesnow.ca. And yeah, let us know you want one, and we'll send you the code. And
I literally tried to picture that in my head.
A very stormy area of whatever the fuck.
Codes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck's going through my head right now?
So, educating our viewers in what tempestuous means and swath. I actually forgot the first meaning of swath. I just remember the second was a fucking bunch of dead grass I just cut.
God.
So, anyways, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. And let us know your comments on our Facebook page. And we will see you all on the next one. And if you
don't forget to our website.
Oh, yes, our website, videogamesnow.ca. I've only said it 16 times on this podcast. But if you guys want to also be on the show, we've had a couple of guests here recently. It's been just Will and I.
Mark's kind of a no-show. Yeah, disappointing.
Mark's kind of a dweeb. He's kind of a swath of failure. Yeah, if you want to be on the show, hit us up at on our email address at videogamesnowinfo@gmail.com, and we will try to be fair and, you know, have everyone on the show, but we're not. All right, see you later, bye.
See you later, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.